Tonight, you are going to hear from Joshua Abraham. We're going to be talking with him about the ancient astronaut theory and how it ties into everything that's happening on this planet. He's next with me on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back. Let's tell you first a little bit about Joshua Abraham, son of Larry Abraham. Now, he was the person who wrote with Gary Allen the international best-selling novel, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. That was back in 1971, exposing the smoking gun proof of plans for global domination. Now, his mission, of course, now is to spread the word, awaken the masses to the very real evidence out there that he calls the ancient astronaut theory and how it relates to politics and the direction that we're all headed. Here's Joshua Abraham on Coast to Coast. Hey, good morning, Josh.
Good morning to you, George.
Looking forward to this. Tell me a little bit about your dad's work with the book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, because I'm told it was a doozy.
Well, that's very correct. It was a doozy. He was a good friend with Ron Paul, and he was a part of the Reagan administration. And this book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, if you just read the introduction, it just sucks you right into it, because one of the first lines says, "This is all proven fact, and the guilty are all named so they can never be forgotten for who they are and what they did." This book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, gives us the blueprint, the plan, the written confessions of the laws they've created, and the agenda of the one world government ran by the socialistic powers of the Illuminati and the Freemasons. Now, keep in mind, people who read this book, they get really shocked at first. They get really drawn into this kind of conflict that this can't be real. Like, all this information, it can't be real, because it's really astounding, George, and it's really shocking. And when you read this information and we have all the proof, you do the research yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it's
and
right
that's
there.
That's when you go outside the lines. And when people, after they read this book, they go outside themselves and they do their own research, and then they come to a pause and they're like, oh my God. Everything in this book is absolutely true. There's no fiction about it. This is not a conspiracy theory anymore, George. This is a conspiracy fact.
And what's amazing, they wrote that book 40-plus years ago.
Yes.
I mean, they saw things that not a lot of people at that time, Joshua, saw.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the trick, George. The thing is, when you see through the lies and you see through the conspiracy, this is why history repeats itself, George. Why do these great empires come up to their power and fall from the inside? The greatest empires on the planet, they didn't get conquered. They were conquered from within.
That's right.
And America's going down the same road, George.
Fast.
And the trick is to seeing through this conspiracy is knowing that the reason why history repeats itself is you got to do two things. You got to follow the money, who buys who out, who owns which company, which corporation does what. And just so you all know, the Federal Reserve Bank, who prints all our money, is a privately owned corporation. Just
that's
so
right.
You know that.
Well, our audience knows that, Josh. They've been educated enough on that. But the rest of the public probably doesn't understand or know that.
Well, I know. And it's really shocking, because Americans are just drowned in ignorance. And along with getting back to what I was saying, like, you follow the money first, and then you follow the bloodlines, George. If you follow the bloodlines, you will know that every single American president, without exception, is related to each other and descendants of British monarchies.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
it really
the descendants
is.
Of British monarchies, who are descendants of German kings, who are descendants of Portuguese kings, who are descendants of the Arab kings of Seville, who are descendants of the Roman Caesars, who are descendants of the Babylonian emperors, who are descendants of the Egyptian pharaohs. This ruling bloodline has been traced through history and proven through fact and research by David Icke and Michael Tesserion. They have pinpointed this. And if you read the book Brooks Peerage, it nails it to a T, because this lineage has been traced all the way back to the beginning of time. And we have the evidence, George, now. The only trick now is to tell it to the people and make them believe it.
So you were brought up, obviously, and taught about what's been going on, what to do, how to investigate. How did you tie that in to the ancient astronaut theory?
Well, to tell you the truth, George, you know, to be honest with you, I wasn't taught. Me and my dad, you know, my dad divorced my mom when I was young, and I only got to see my dad maybe once or twice a week. And to be honest with you, I used to be a pro wakeboarder and a sponsored snow skier. And, he would tell me, you know, why don't you read my books? And I was like, Dad, I'm not interested in that stuff. You know, I'm having my fun. But then, you know, God rest his soul, he died on July 7th, 2008.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got curious, George. It wasn't until, like, a couple years after his death, I started researching myself. Well, Ancient Aliens on the History Channel got my blood going. Like, wow, that's a lot of evidence to have all these stone structures line up like that. There's more proof to the ancient astronaut theory than there is for the theory of evolution. And then that got me going. And then I started researching relentlessly for years. And it wasn't until 2 years ago, after my dad's death, that my dad wrote the book for exposing the global conspiracy. And then I came to my mom with all this knowledge. I'm like, Mom, did you know this? Did you know that? Did you know this? She goes, Josh, that's what your father worked his whole life on. I'm like, what are you talking about? She handed me his books, and I read them, and I was literally, George, I was in just floored on the ground. I couldn't believe my dad wrote this and exposed it and wrote the book that pretty much laid the blueprint for it all. So to sum it up in a nutshell, I figured this all out before I even knew my dad wrote it.
Do you wish you would have read those books a long time ago?
George, I need my father now more than ever because I look at what's going on. I see what Obama and the globalist elite of the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg Group and the Council on Foreign Relations are doing to this global government, and they're bringing in the socialism to America little by little by little, and I wish I had my dad now more than ever. But I have to reflect on I can't change the past. All I can do is focus on the future, and I've made a promise to myself when I figured this out. Because I didn't pay attention in the past, there's no way I'm going to slack in the future.
Well, good for you. So let's get into this theory, of course. And give me your overall perspective on the ancient astronaut theory, the visitation. Let's go right into it, Joshua. Are you a believer, for example, in the Zechariah Sitchin theory of the Anunnaki coming here, genetically altering us?
What's the theory? There is no theory. This is written on clay tablets, George. This is the historical document of the Sumerian civilization, the cradle of human society. This is the cradle of human civilization. I mean, are we going to doubt what they wrote as history? I mean, if we doubt the Egyptians are saying the same thing, how serpent gods came down from the sky and taught us technology. And if you read Zechariah Sitchin's The Lost Book of Enki, it says it right there in an English translation of the Sumerian tablets. These serpent beings came down and genetically altered us it was Enki, Enlil, and Ninhursag. Ninhursag was the female of the three. Ninhursag was the scientific, biological creator of the human species. Enki was kind of he did his own agenda. He was kind of the rebel of the three, and Enlil was the righteous one. He told Enki, you know, you got to watch yourself. But Enki, you know, he wanted to do his own agenda and use the human species as his own little slave species. So Ninhursag created us, and Enlil, he left. You know, he dipped out. And it says right there in the Lost Book of Enki that his burial site is that big human face on the planet of Mars. Recently, we discovered that there are three pyramids on the exact same latitude and longitude as the three pyramids of Egypt. And those three pyramids on Mars and those three pyramids of Egypt are mathematically the same as the three belts of Orion. And same with the three huge pyramids over in Mexico with the Mayan civilization. This is not coincidence. This is happening for a reason. They did it for proof to give us the knowledge of civilization, of mathematics, of astrology, of astronomy, of science, of agriculture. These are our creators. Are we going to doubt the earliest historical records of mankind? I don't want to, because everything, there is no school like the old school, because everything that we know of today is what? Evolution? And everyone knows who studies Darwinism knows that it was his grandfather's theory, and that he even said to his wife on his deathbed that he didn't even believe in his own theory and to spread the word of Jesus.
So, and you've obviously done your work with this, Joshua, because you're spot on. The ancient astronaut theory ties into secret societies. You've looked at that. Was your father aware of that, or did that part go through? Did he miss that?
Well, to be honest, George, my father missed. There's three main pieces to this puzzle. He got one nailed, the government policies, the global politics. That's what he wrote about. He gives us like the evidence that people just dipping into this knowledge need, the first step into it. That's what you give the people. Then you tell them, okay, now you do your research. That's the second piece of the puzzle with all the stone monoliths and all the ancient history of the Egyptians, the Sumerians, the Babylonians, and what they believe in. And then you give it the cherry on top of the knowledge sundae. You hit it with the Bible. And when you read the lost books of the Bible, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the King James Version, it all ties in together. I call it the triad of truth. You hit it with global politics, you hit it with world history, and then right on top of the knowledge sundae cherry, you give it with the religion. And it just hits it on all three sides.
What's their motive, Joshua? What do they want?
They want the global government. It's right there on the back of the most powerful thing on our planet, the $1 bill.
Yep.
This whole world is ran by the $1 bill, George. And on the back of that $1 bill, you're going to see two things. To the left is this weird pyramid-looking thing, the Great Seal of the United States of America. Well, I got news for you. It's the symbol of the Illuminati global conspiracy developed by Adam Weishaupt, Mayor Amstel Rothschild, and the ancient illuminated series of Bavaria called the Illuminati. What you see on that triangle is an all-seeing eye with 13 layers of a pyramid and 33 blocks. The 13 layers of the pyramid represent the 13 families of the ruling bloodline of the Illuminati. That's why we have 13 colonies, 13 stripes on our flag. And then within those 13 layers, you get the 33 blocks, which represent the 33 degrees of Freemasonry. Now, everyone who does their presidential studies knows that every president ever elected was a Freemason. Every single king was a Freemason over in Britain. All the ruling European leaders, the kings, the dukes, the archbishops, they're all Freemasons. And then on the right side of the dollar, you get the eagle, the Great Seal of the Presidents. But that's a Freemason eagle, George. And on the left wing, you get the 32 wings, the 32 feathers for 32 degrees of Freemasonry. And on the right, you get 33 feathers for 33 degrees of Freemasonry. In the left little hand of the eagle, you get 13 olive leaves. In the other hand, you get 13 arrows for the 13 families of the Illuminati. But then you get the symbol right above the eagle. That's the 13 points of the Israeli star. It's not the Star of David. It's not the Star of Solomon. It's called the hexagram. It's the most powerful symbol in demonic worship. And keep in mind, people, these Illuminati masters and Freemason supreme commanders, they're all Satanists. I got news for you. The reason history repeats itself is because throughout the ages, all the leaders of men are related, and they're all Satan worshipers.
Explain, if you can, Josh, this is hypothetical, but one of their meetings, when they get together, what do they do?
What do they do? Well, let me first say that they're rich, okay? They're the most powerful, richest people on the planet. And, you know, once you get your first billion, you don't really need to do much but have fun.
But they're bored, aren't they?
Oh, they're bored out of their minds. Once you get your first billion, every billionaire will tell you the money works for you. You can't spend enough to go bankrupt. But in their free time, you know what they're doing? They're conspiring. And they're conspiring tough. And they get together at these places called the Bohemian Grove.
Mm-hmm.
They get together at these places called the Bilderberg Group. They get together in Freemason temples. And they conspire, George. And back in 1871, the most powerful 33rd Freemasons in the world got together, and they wrote how they're going to do it. In 1871, they wrote, "We will bring in the global government by Freemasonry controlled by the nations together. We will do the following." Now, keep in mind, this was in the British Museum Library in London. It recently, in the past 10 years, it got taken off because it was too revealing to the public. This is what they said. Keep in mind, this is 1871. World War I. We will overthrow the Romanov bloodline of the Tsars in Russia. This is called the Bolshevik Revolution. The protectors of orthodoxy and bring about an atheistic communist state in Europe. World War II, to bring a conflict between Germany and Great Britain, to strengthen communism in Europe as an antithesis to the Judeo-Christian culture and bring about a Zionist state in Palestine named Israel under the protection of Great Britain. And I tell you, George, after the first two, I'd say we are right on track. World War III, this is how they're going to cap it.
All right, yeah, give us your thoughts on that.
World War III. This is not my thoughts. This is what they wrote, George, in 1871. A Middle Eastern war involving Israel and the Islamic nations spreading internationally to bring about a one-world government through the horrific tragedy of massive human sacrifice. Now, keep in mind, people.
And did you say
why do you think every nation has the exact same symbols on their uniform as every nation has in the United Nations? Because a life taken at a chosen time, place, and way of life taken, it becomes a sacrifice. Haven't you heard these kings in the past say, "I sacrifice my soldiers. I will sacrifice half my army to win this battle."
That's right.
That's
or
what
more.
They're doing. They are sacrificing our soldiers to a cause of a global government. This is not about freedom in the Middle East. This is not about democracy. This is all about setting up the proper agenda to bring about the global government so we, the people, the 99%, think that it all happened by accident.
And when does that clock really kick in? I mean, it's ticking now, but when does it really start moving?
I say we start, you know, I hear the Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, the prime minister, he's really getting antsy. And I would say this is really going to kick off as soon as Israel goes to war with any, like Syria or Iran. As soon as Israel goes to war with an Islamic state, that's when you get really worried, because it's not going to stop. Because everyone knows who's done their research that this is going to be a war between Israel, Great Britain, and America, facing off between Islam, Russia, and China. And whoever Islam is, it's probably going to be like Syria, Saudi Arabia, and Iran.
Sounds like prophecy, doesn't it?
They're going to hook up with Russia and China, and it's just going to be an all-out brawl.
Is it biblical prophecy? Hold on, because we're coming back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with Joshua Abraham. Are we getting that close? Hey, by the way, if you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. We'll be right back with more. Don't touch your dial. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Joshua Abraham, our special guest. Josh, I got to read you this because we've got a listener who says that he grew up with your father. You're going to love it if it happened. Did your dad grow up on Maple Street in Sequim, Washington? Do you know?
I'm not exactly sure there, George. I'm not exactly sure, you know. Maybe.
was he involved politically in some organizations?
Yes, he was. Yes,
okay,
he was,
that's that. And he apparently told this writer's mother he predicted that Kennedy would be assassinated in Texas And 2 months later, it happened.
Who, my father predicted it?
Your father predicted it, yes.
Oh, wow.
He said his nickname when he was growing up was Larry Porky Abraham. So maybe you don't know that, but...
I don't.
And he said he was, later he was in Seattle, in that area.
Yeah, that's definitely where he was from.
Well, there you go. So he's asked me to give you his information later. Do you want it?
Absolutely, okay, George.
We will do that. So as we look at this and this tie-in with the ancient astronaut theory, I am fascinated, Joshua, with biblical prophecy. And watching these things unfold, to me, that clock has started as well. Do you look at that, too, as a timetable?
You know, it's just, I'm a part of the Messianic faith also, and there's a lot of timetables involved with that. The One New Man religion has been very focused on how the war of Magog is going to reflect itself through politics. Now, what we got to understand is that when this World War III happened, it's not a matter of if, it's going to happen. And I hope we awake the masses up to this global conspiracy fact before it's too late. Now, the War of Magog, as we all know who reads the Bible, that it's going to, you know, the leaders of the North are going to come down and invade Israel. Now, the Third World War consists of that. Turkey is going to be lined up with Russia. And all those little Russian breakoffs like Georgia, Ukraine, and Romania, like those are right above Israel, and those are going to go into prophecy. Hmm. Now, if you read your Bible, you would know that the War of Magog comes into Israel, and from there, the great war of the Armageddon goes down. But we have to remember that if we don't wake people up to this, we're not going to save as many souls. This is going to happen, people. We can't stop what God has lined out for us. We have to save as many souls as possible before it actually happens. Because if we don't, so many people are going to be led astray, and they're going to join the dark side before they even know it. And if we don't wake people up to the all-seeing light of Jesus Christ, we're going to lose the world, and we're going to lose a lot of people in it.
Well, I think all these things will unfold, but they want that to unfold, don't they?
Well, the Satanic Illuminati and the Freemasons, they're Satan's little finger puppets to make it happen, because Satan, you know, he wants his crack. He wants one more crack at God. He thinks that if he possesses and controls enough souls, that he will overthrow the throne of God. That's his agenda. That's what he thinks. But it's not going to happen. The almighty power, glory of God is going to defeat them. And everyone knows, if you read your Bible, that Jesus is going to lead the armies of light against the armies of darkness. And Satan's going to take the rulers of man, all his kings, that are all incested and related to each other, by the way, because Satan said he's going to do two things, incest the rulers of man and blind the minds of men. And with all the rulers of Europe and the presidents of America all related and how much ignorance is in the world, I would say he's right on track. But if we recognize that, if we do our research, if we see what's going on, if we get our heads out and just turn off the television and get back in the books and research, if you dig for the truth, you're going to find it. And that's what I truly discovered in my journey through the research of digging for the truth. There's two types of people on this planet: people who cower in ignorant bliss, or people who search for the truth and stand in the true conviction in light of the Lord. There are so many Christians out there, you ask them if they've even read the Bible. I guess I would bet 90% of them would say no. They've never read the Bible from front to back. Maybe a few would get, like, in the book of Revelations or the New Testament. But it's astounding how many Christians who claim to be followers of Christ have never even read the entire Bible. And when I repented to my Jesus Christ, I'm coming up on my third year this spring, when the day after I repented, I moved out of my $1,000 a month apartment. I lived in my car.
Whoa.
At a park and ride, and I dug in the Bible. I didn't work that whole summer, George.
You mean you slept
in
your car?
I stayed in my car, and I read the entire Bible.
Did you get tossed out? What did they do?
No, I just didn't pay my rent and I walked out and I found my faith. I mean, I'm 29 years old at that time and I was just, I mean, when you repent and you find the truth of the world through years of research, it just, it just shocked me. And then I went in and lived in my car in a parking ride. Anyone who knows me as my personal friends know that this is the absolute truth.
They're listening to you right now going, right on, Joshua.
Because I'll tell you something, George. I'm not afraid of telling my life story and what the truth is. Because I'm not ashamed of what I've done. Because I don't care if people think that's like stepping down society. For me, it was the most enlightening period of my life to live in my car day after day after day, read the 1,500-page King James Bible my oldest brother gave me, and then after that, I dipped into the Dead Sea Scrolls, lost books of the Bible, and then I got an apartment after that, you know, nice little summer of reading scripture, and then I just continued my research. And I proved to myself that if you dig for the truth, you will find it.
Well, let me ask you about Genesis then. Do you think their interpretation of these fallen angels, these beings that came down to the planet, the Nephilim, that we're talking about these ancient astronauts?
That's exactly what we're talking about, George. Because keep in mind, once you, you know, like I said earlier, you read my dad's stuff and all those authors that correlate with all the politics and the governments. That's one piece of the puzzle. Then the second piece is the world history, and the third being the Bible. And the second piece of the puzzle of the world history says it right there in the Bible also. The fallen angels called the seraphim were led by Lucifer. Now, if you get into your Dead Sea Scrolls, lost books of the Bible, you would know the real name of Lucifer and Satan is Azazel. And he has a brother called Semyaza. Semyaza and Azazel made a pact with each other. In the Book of Enoch, I got it right here, that they made a pact with each other, that they, when they came unto the daughters of men, they knew they broke the covenant of the hierarchy of angels, which is not to mate with the humans. And right here in the Book of Enoch, it says, Azazel said, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty for this great sin. And everyone who knows their revelations knows that Jesus is going to throw them into the fiery pit. Now, when these angels ascended or descended from the heavens and got kicked out and they came into the daughters of men, the Mayans, the Greeks, the Asians, the African Zulus, the Sumerians, and the Egyptians have the exact same story. These are ancient civilizations from all over the earth that have the exact same story. That these angelic beings of light came down from the heavens with a serpent appearance, came unto our women and taught us mathematics, science, astronomy, astrology, and agriculture. The Mayans called their serpent god Kukulkan. The Asian called the gods of the serpents the Nagas. The Greeks called this Prometheus. The African Zulu tribes called the two serpent gods that I'm talking about, Azazel and Semyaza, Wuwani and Umpenku. The Sumerians call them Enki and Enlil. These are the Anunnaki. And everyone who knows the Sumerian studies of the Anunnaki know that they're serpent beings. This ancient astronaut theory, it's all over the world with ancient civilizations in their history telling the exact same story. And by no coincidence, it's the exact same story in the Bible, George.
All right, my friend, you're spot on a lot of this, and a lot of people, of course, are frightened, concerned, and also aware of what might happen with the apocalypse, the end times that we're going through in these rough times. Can any of this, in your opinion, Josh, at your young age, can any of this be stopped, or is it all in motion?
You know, after you discover that why history repeats itself, after you break that question, this is the next question you ask yourself. Can it be stopped? That's a great question. In my opinion, George, through all my research, it can't. Satan has got this world. It's his domain. It's his prison. God and the Archangel Michael threw him out of heaven, and they casted him here as a prison. And we as humans have to, and it says here right in the Bible, we have to endure the evil to receive the almighty heaven of God. And as long as we endure the evil for a short time to know what evil truly is, then we can endure a lifetime and an eternity of heaven and of heaven above if we believe in his son, Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. All we can do, George, is wake people up and save as many souls as possible. And if we march as a unit, as the child of light, and as a society driven by the Spirit of the Lord, we can conquer this, but it might be too late. But, you know, I'm just myself. I can't predict the future or anything.
You're not, George, a psychic, right?
Yeah, I'm not a psychic. But imagine, George, if we woke up enough people and we could stop the plan. That is the goal of it all. But if we can't, we're going to save as many souls as possible. We're going to get people drowning with Scripture, and we're going to wash all their souls in the blood of the Lamb and get the dark forces of darkness behind us. Because that's everyone who knows their demonology knows that devils come from behind you. They don't come at you from the front. Only Jesus and his archangels can come at a human consciousness from the front. Demons and Satan and Azazel come from behind you. That's why all the satanic symbols are on the back of a dollar with a face on the front. It's all symbolism. And as long as we save as many souls as possible, we might have a shot at stopping this. But in my best educated guess of research, I think it's not going to happen, because everyone knows who does their Bible research, there's going to be a final battle between the sons of light versus the sons of darkness. And if we're going to have this war, let's get our armies so prepared, washed in the blood of the Lamb, shining with the power of Christ, and we're going to march towards them, and we're not going to give them a chance at it. Because the breaking factor is going to be how many souls will go to the dark side. All these atheists and these agnostics and these non-believers, they're going to get deceived when the Antichrist comes and his false prophet take over the Vatican. But as long as we save the souls and we get people in Scripture, they'll be able to point out the tricks of the devil and be like, wait a minute, right here in our sword called the King James Bible, this sword tells us that you're going to do that, and you're right on track. Because the Satan, he is trying to imitate God. He wants to be a God. He wants to sit on his throne. But the thing is that his tricks are, they repeat themselves over and over and over. He's a copycat, and he's trying to copy God. So through being a copycat and a wannabe, all his tricks are the same, and they repeat themselves. And that's why history repeats itself, and we can't learn from our mistakes, because the leaders that are leading men astray are all Satanists, and they're all related to each other.
Well, let me tell you, Josh, it's happening. It is remarkable, and at the same time, for a lot of people, frightening. Now, I'm getting a lot of emails from people who want to know how to get a hold of you. You don't have a website, do you?
No, I don't, but people can get a hold of me. Just go to Joshua Abraham on Facebook that lives in Tacoma. You'll see my Guy Fawkes masks, because Guy Fawkes is a great hero of mine. He knew in 1605 that the British Parliament had to be destroyed, because even back then he saw how the British were going to take us over. And keep in mind, people, America is not the world power. That's just the cover story. The British are in control, and they never step down. Our IRS collection agency is a collection agency of the British monarchy. Look up IRS publication 6209, the background of the IRS. You will know that we are paying off the British for arms sales that we bought through the Civil War, through the Revolutionary War, through all these wars that we bought arms from the British. They funded our wars. We're under the control of the monarchy. That monarchy went nowhere. And if people want to get a hold of me, just go to Joshua Abraham from Tacoma on Facebook, or email me at joshuaabraham247@yahoo.com.
All right, Josh, a couple more quick questions, and we'll take phone calls with you next hour as well. How did this all occur for you? I mean, you, like you said, you really didn't have much of a presence with your father. I mean, when was this epiphany for you?
It was an epiphany for me when, after my father died. I mean, I was close to my father, especially the last 5 years of his life. We hung out every Monday night, watched football. We always saw each other once a week, and I would always love watching Fox News with him and how he just rant on and on. And, you know. But pretty much when my cat got curious, I was sitting there laid off right when Obama got elected in 2008, and I was laid off from the construction industry for about a year and a half there. Jeez. And I just sat there at home, you know, just doing, playing video games, watching the news, just living life as an unemployed person. And I just sat there, I'm just like, you know, something is just wrong. This is not the way, like, we're the most powerful nation in the world. Why is this happening to us? It's kind of like if you look at the Great Depression. Why did it happen? Well, guess what, people? The Illuminati took over the central banking system of America in 1913 and then just ran our country into the ground. We've been bankrupt ever since 1933. And then we've just been borrowing money ever since. And what's our deficit up to? In trillions? And I got news for you people. That's just the interest payment on the Federal Reserve. That $17 trillion that people see on the news, that's not our debt. That's our interest on the debt. We are paying a privately owned organization to print our money. And by the way, it's all printed like Monopoly money. Look that one up. All the colors of our bills match Monopoly money, for Christ's sake.
It does, indeed.
It's a game. It's a game, George. It's all Monopoly. And if, like I said earlier, if you follow the money and follow the bloodlines through the money trail, you're going to figure out that everything's getting monopolized. The Rockefeller Bank and the Rothschild Foundation made the biggest monopoly in business history a year and a half ago. Not one reported on the mainstream media. Why? Because they don't want you to know that the Federal Reserve went under the complete control of the British bank called the International Monetary Fund.
Yeah, you've done your homework, Josh. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, final hour, and we're going to take your phone calls. Questions about the ancient astronaut theory, the one world government, you name it, we've got it right here on Coast to Coast AM.